If you are an entrepreneur and you are looking to grow your business, I am talking about 10 things that you want to consider that you actually probably need to consider if you want to get yourself to the next side. Listen, sometimes we are doing more than we should, and I want to help you along that pathway to get it all figured out. So join me on the inside. If you are a female entrepreneur who is serious about starting, growing, or scaling your business, but you are really finding it challenging to make the money that you want to make, or you're finding that the resources, maybe even the technology, and even some of the gurus are really just more expensive and cost more than you really want to spend right now, but you know that if you had the resources that you needed, you can really thrive in your business. If that's for you, then this podcast is for you. My name is Dr. T, and I am proud to be one of the co-founders of CCOClub.com and CCO Club Podcast, where we are building a space and a community to be able to serve you. But get this, we are much, much more than just a community. Our goal is to create an ecosystem where we have our own engagement, we create our own technology platforms, we are creating our own shared spaces, some TV channels, and even much, much more. And we want to be able to do that with the very women who want to connect with us, because what we know is that we can always be stronger together. So if that's you, make sure you hang out to learn much more about what we have going on, and we will see you on the inside. Hey there, this is your girl, your sister, and your mentor, Dr. T, coming to you with another episode of CCO Podcast, where we are talking to women entrepreneurs all over the world to help them to not only have someone that they can do this thing with by listening to some of the things that we have here on the podcast, but also by providing a platform for micro and small business owners to be able to go to, utilize, and collaborate with other like-minded women, because we know that we are better together. Make sure that you head over to CCOClub.com. That's C, the letter C, she, S-H-E-O, the letter O, like C-E-O, but C-C-O Club. So CCOClub.com to get more information, because we would love to have you hanging out with us. I got a list today. I have a list of things that I want you to consider stopping if you want to improve your business. Right now, watch this. Some of them you probably heard before, and that's okay, because obviously I feel like there's a need for us to hear it again. I'm on it. I'm talking about it, because oftentimes we need to hear things over and over and over said a different way, you know, so we can glean something else from it. You know, it's kind of like reading the Bible and reading like the 23rd Psalms again, you know, and getting a new revelation, right? You can get a new revelation from an old thing, because we are always in a different place. One time you might have read it and you were down and out. One time you were growing. One time you might have been fasting and praying. One time you might have been looking for clarity. And God has a way of revealing himself to us in different times, in different seasons, and in different ways. So we are going to probably cover some things that I've said before, but there are reasons behind it. So we are going to dive in. I have a list of 10 things you might want to stop doing if you want to improve your business. And you know what? I really think these things, y'all see, I'm turned up already. I think that these things could also help you to improve in your life. So I want to hear from you. Again, you can go to CCOClub.com, the bottom of the screen. Towards the bottom of the screen, there's an orange button where you can click on it. Oh, that's on the podcast page. So go to CCOClub.com/podcast. It'll be in the description where you can go to leave me a message if you agree, disagree. I'll read what you have on the air. So go over there so I can hear from you. So number one, we gotta stop overcommitting. Now, this might be a sucker punch for a lot of us, right? Like, do you overcommit yourself? And watch this on my way to heaven. It doesn't even matter if you're overcommitting yourself to good stuff. That might set somebody free right there. You might be overcommitting to your church, right? And the thing is that, let's say, you know, especially if you're a volunteer, right? You love to serve. You love to be there. You love to help. You love to welcome people in. But you might have been on you might find yourself on a couple of different committees or groups or teams, and you might be doing too many projects because you know what it does? It leads to burnout. And it leads to your focus being kind of all over the place, right? So overcommitting is something that, it doesn't matter what it is. We can overcommit. I think we can overcommit to our kids. Can I talk about that for a second? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, like when you have younger kids, you know, you're going to be all in. And maybe kids are a bad example, but I think that we can kind of get lost. We can get lost in anything. We can get lost in our spouse. We can get lost in our parents. We can get lost in our kids. And we look up and let's say they're gone one day, they've gone off to college, or they're gone for extended periods of time, or God decides to take people home. Then we are lost. Right. And I don't want that to happen to us because we are not taking care of ourselves. Because when we do that, when we are able to take care of ourselves and not overcommit our time, our talent and our talent, when we're not overcommitting anything that we are doing, we can get to the goals that we have for ourselves, right? Because it is very, very important that we set boundaries and prioritize things in our life, in all areas of our life. So I'm talking about overcommitting. Yes, we might, and I'm trying to, in my head, you know, since I talked about kids, I'm trying to disagree with myself. You know, my goddaughter, you know, she's very committed to the kids. You know, I'm very committed to my son, very committed to, so, and I'm talking about overdoing it. I'm talking about there is a level, and listening, if this doesn't impact you, then I'm not talking to you, right? And it may happen when we're older, right? That we are more committed than we should be, and we should allow our kids to lead their lives. So I just don't want that to be taken in the wrong way, because I want you to understand the spirit as that's in my heart. Next thing, having fear-driven decisions, right? Letting fear dictate your choices, right? A lot of times we will have, when we're starting our business, we'll have fear of failure. That's a real thing for people. Fear of rejection. That's a big thing. Sometimes we don't ask for the sale. Sometimes we don't have our prices where they need to be. Sometimes we think that we don't know if people are going to be willing to pay us for our expertise, because really, if they're rejecting our prices in some way, we feel like they're rejecting us. That might bless somebody right there. But that's not really what it is. And we have to detach ourselves oftentimes from the responses of other people. Right? Because it's just information. It's just information. And it might just be that it's not that they're rejecting the price, or they're rejecting you, is that you might just have the wrong avatar. Again, that might bless somebody. We might feel like we're being judged, right? And this can really hinder your process and slow you down. Sometimes it might paralyze you, because it is getting in the way of you focusing on the decision that you need to make, the data that's really there, the intuition that God has given you, the vision that you've always had for yourself, because you are fearful that something may not work. But you know what? That's what entrepreneurship is. It is, man, that should be written in the definition. It's like trying stuff and failing and being okay with it. Being able to be okay with rejection, people telling you no. Putting yourself out there and not getting anything in return, like, that's part of it. You don't have to like it, but you have to understand that's just part of the learning process in a lot of respects. So that's number two. Number three. So we talked about one, overcommitting to too many projects. Number two, fear-driven decisions. Number three, perfectionism. Is anybody like that? Like me? Like, you got to have it all right. Now, man, it's hard for those of us who are perfectionists to subscribe to the notion of done is better than perfect. That's Derek Harper, right? Done is better than perfect. Like, done is always going to be better. And it can, and what you have to learn, and what I've had to learn, is that good is good enough. Because what I had to learn for myself is that because I'm a perfectionist, because I'm a person of excellence, I've learned that my good enough is still better than most people's best, because of who I am and how I do things. And so I had to know what that level was for me. Right. I had to know that good enough was good enough. And because I can always get better in the future. I've talked about this several times. When you're talking about putting a product or a service out there, you want to do a minimum viable product, an MVP, because what if you need to change it? What if you need to pivot? What if you need to scale or make some adjustments before you scale, right? And you've already gone all in on something only to find out that was not the direction you needed to go. Something shifted in the world. Think about it like this. I was talking to someone that I interviewed. Her interview is going to be up next week. And she was talking about how, she was in concert with God and he had her quit her job in January 2020, right? Walk away. And you guys know in 2020, soon thereafter, that's when the pandemic started. What in the world is going on, right? And so because she had just did a book, she was already had book tour schedule, all this type of stuff, but she had to pivot. And so because she had to pivot and because she had to do something different, she had to go into it in a way that she had to be good enough because she already had things on the docket that she had to do. And so you have to make sure that you are really understanding that perfectionism is really just a delay. It's just a delay and it can really hinder your progress. And I really want you guys out there to, even if you are people of excellence, right, that you understand that good enough is absolutely good enough. Number four, I call it SOS. I don't call it SOS. That's what the letters are. Shiny object syndrome, right? Shiny object syndrome. I definitely talk about that a lot because I have it. I have it. I don't have it as bad as I used to have it, but I've had it bad. And it's about jumping from thing to thing, strategy to strategy. Because what I have found is that many entrepreneurs are in love with the beginning. They're in love with the start of the adrenaline, the idea, the perfect phase, the honeymoon stage where you're building and you're getting things ready. You're talking to people who are amening, what it is that you have to do. It's a great idea. You're putting things out there. You're getting good feedback, right? And then you do something and it doesn't go quite like you anticipated. And then you see something else or someone say, oh, what you really need to be doing is this over here. And so you start making a little pivot here and a pivot there. Before you know it, you have pivoted your way away from the original vision that you had, right? You have to stick to your plan long enough for it to work. If you're talking about, you have to have enough data, right? So how do you know if a funnel is not working? Well, you have to have enough people go through the funnel before you say it's not working. 3 to 5 people, not enough people, period, point blank, the end. You got to have enough people go through your funnel. If your course isn't working, you have to have enough people take your course to get some feedback. Even if you're doing that course for them for free, or less of a fee, right, to be able to get the feedback, you have to do something, but you can't go from thing to thing. Give it a year or two. I was listening to a podcast I did whenever, and I'm telling you, I thank God that he speaks to me and through me, because there are times when I go back and listen to what I'm saying and I'm like, well, that's speaking to me right now, because it's about seasonal things. And one of the things I had said on that particular podcast is I was talking about, giving your plan time to work, and it's, you need a year or two easily. You need a year or two. You got to put in the time to see what it is that you're doing. Oftentimes where you are in 2 years is going to be different, especially if you're just launching, it's going to be drastically different than where you are. And sometimes it doesn't have to be drastically different, but I promise you there's a lot that you're going to learn along the way if you decide to stick to it. Now, when we jump from thing to thing and place to place, it gets challenging to find, to discover what may have worked had we stayed the course. So making sure that you understand that is something that's very, very important. So that's number four. Number five, self-care. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to keep talking about it. We have to do it. We're talking about how do you consider improving your business? How do you improve your business? And there are some things that we have to stop doing, some things that we have to start doing. And so some things we have to change is we have to stop neglecting self-care. Now watch this. For you young folks that are out there, you young whippersnappers, I'm so glad I was there once and I was a whippersnapper once. And you can go without sleep and you can go without doing things and you can forget to eat and you can do all sorts of stuff. And I promise you it's going to catch up to you when you get older. Now a sister is old with gray hair and she has to take a nap and her body is the boss of her. and she understands what mental health is even more, although I've been in and out of therapy since I was in my 20s. I know what that's about, and having healthy relationships and avoiding burnout, seeing now that when you get older, you get wiser too, right? Like I can see burnout coming down the street. And I have enough people around me, I have the right folks around me, which is number six, having the right network. I have the right people around me to be able to have and be looking at my blind spots. That might bless somebody right there. Sometimes we think being in a network, oh, they're just trying to get my money. But sometimes people are just helping you with your blind spots, right? You have trustworthy people enough to say, if I say this, if I do this, jump all over me. Give people permission to help you so that you are not neglecting yourself, right? And so that's something that's really important. And as I've already delved into number six, I feel like I'm going fast, but I hope you guys are listening. So number six is a network, right? Collaborating with each other. We are stronger together. That's why we built CCO Club. That's why we are doing what we're doing, because we know that this entrepreneurial journey is lonely. It's hard. It can be very rewarding if you are hanging out together, right? And if you are with like-minded people who are pulling for you, you just need some cheerleaders, right? I like it. I like my time just recording my grandbaby. I call her Puka. She had called me the night before, and I was busy, so I couldn't answer. So she called me when she was on the way to school this morning, and you know, we were just talking, and you know, I just that energy of that innocence of being young again, right? It's a relationship, right? It's not being by yourself. It's that love of being a kid where, you know, people are loving you and they're cheering for you. And you know, I'm all, hey Puka, what are you doing? How you been a big girl? You going to school? What you gonna do today? You know, how's your brother? You know, like cheering for you. Like, I just want to be in that space where people are cheering for me, because I know I'm like a professional cheerleader. I am so excited when people that I'm connected to win. I'm authentically excited because I feel like it's me. I feel like, you know, somebody is winning. And so being in a network of people sometimes can just be that. Could be that childlike cheering. Like you know, I tell my baby, when she, of course, whenever she gets her hair braided, she has to call me, because I'm the one that's going to tell her how pretty she is. She a princess. Show me the beads. Let me see. Turn around. Like, she's gonna call her Monty. She's gonna call her Monty, because she already knows how I'm gonna treat her, and that makes her feel good. That's what networking can be, and having the right people in your corner can be for you. So that's number six. We're rounding out with number seven. Well, not rounding out, but you know what I'm going to the next one. Ignoring our finances, not having our finances in order, not having our budget right, not investing wisely. Cash flow problems. I'm telling you, cash flow will be the number one. I'm going to say the number one problem with starting a business, because you can be the most brilliant person on earth. You can be a person that is, you can be a person that, you know, loves to build stuff, and you can have an expertise in a particular area that is, you know, far surpassing other people, but you can't get seen because of lack of funds. You can't get seen. You can't get your information out there, or it's taking it so long for you to get out there because you just don't have the resources to do it. And that is going to be challenging. So we got to figure out the cash flow problem. I am going to be one of the first person to tell you the truth about that. That might mean staying at your job a little while longer. That means going to get a job for a little while longer. That means allowing your job to be your business partner. That might mean to do some things that you don't necessarily want to do, so you can do the things that you do want to do. I am the first person to say that, right? Not the first, but you know, making a point. Like, I'm going to be the first to tell you that you have to have your finances in order. And that means that as you start making money, don't go out and start shopping. Don't go out and start being wild with it. Don't do that. Like, stack, put money away for a rainy day, because a rainy day comes. Put money away, put money back into your business until you are ready to do what it is that you need to do. So that's something. Don't ignore your finances. working in isolation. This is connected to number six with the lack of a network, is that we're trying to do everything ourselves, right? And I was having a conversation again today with a sister that I coach, and we were talking about, she's starting an online community, and I had to realize, again, I've started several online communities, but I was going to do one, and I was like, this is hard by yourself. I can't be doing the post on the page to keep people engaged, writing the courses, which means you write the course, you record the course, you edit the course, you put it up on your platform, you put the pricing in it, you connect your money, you do the email autoresponders, you sell it, and then do groups, and then do lives, and then do webinars, and still podcasts, right? Like, that's just too much, right? And so that working in isolation and not having a network is huge, because when I'm surrounded by people that are doing what I'm doing, they can tell me when that's too much. That's too much. And because I don't want to get to a place where I'm at burnout just because I wasn't listening to the writing that was clearly on the wall, but I couldn't see it because I was in the midst of it. Right. And so you don't necessarily want to work in isolation. Number nine, I think, is like number one. So number one was overcommitting. Number nine is not saying no. I remember years ago that I had gone to this conference, and there was this lady who had written this book, and she said, it was one thing, and this is the whole thing that stuck with me, is that no is a complete sentence in and of itself. It needs no explanation. And many of us have overcommitted ourselves so much, or we have been ones to say yes, that we don't say no. And watch this, that those of us who are more talented, as God helps us to grow, we're going to get more busy, and you're going to even have to say no to what you might feel are great opportunities. Because it's always going to be a sacrifice somewhere, right? It's always going to be a sacrifice somewhere. And you have to then begin to, like when you're getting started, sometimes you'll say yes to things because you want the opportunity, right? You want the opportunity to be out there and to build your network and build what it is that you're doing, so on and so forth. But then as you start building, you have to get more selective. You have to continue to ask yourself, is this serving my business goals? Is this getting me closer to my goal of where it is I want to go? Is this going to keep my tempo more tired if I do it than if I say no? You have to get to knowing that. You have to get to a place where you understand that about yourself, because saying no is more important at times than saying yes. You just have to know what season you're in, and you have to be in a place where, like, if you're a person that says no, you may have to start saying yes. If you're a person that says yes all the time, you might have to start saying no, because it's about taking care of you in all aspects, mind, body, soul, spirit, and emotions. And finally, number 10, we procrastinate too much. I need you to not procrastinate. I need you to not say, I'm going to put this off. Okay, I'll get to it. So I tell you guys all the time, I'm in an accountability group, and what I love is that weekly accountability. So no matter what we try to procrastinate on, we have to be accountable to each other. So I have to report in. My sisters have to report in. We have to talk about the things that we have done for the week and what we have. Did we do what we said we were going to do, and why? Right. We have to tell the truth. And that, again, a community, not working in isolation, but it helps because now I don't avoid putting the things off that I know that I need to do. Right. And watch this. I think it was Brian Tracy's book, Bite the Head of the Frog or Eat That Frog or something like that. But what he was talking about in that book was doing the thing you don't like to do first, doing the thing that's the hardest to do first, doing the thing that you don't want to, like, you keep avoiding. Do that first. Tackle that thing and get that thing out of the way, because you will find out that's you will get a lot of momentum from getting that thing off your plate. So procrastination needs to be something of the past that you are doing if you want to be successful in your business. I hope that some of these things on here, if not all of these things, were in some way a blessing to you. Like, I hope there was something on the list that you said, ooh, that's the one, or that those are the two that I have to work on. For me, if I am going to be honest, I have to say, oh, the self-care is definitely what I am on. The shiny object syndrome this year was the year I said to God, I'm not trying to look left or right. I want to make sure that I'm doing what it is I need to do. So those are the two on the list, even for myself, that I am continuing to battle all the time, making sure my network is strong. I'm making sure that my decisions are good. And I am absolutely not anymore ignoring my financial success, not ignoring it, paying close attention to it, setting myself up for success in what it is I'm doing. And one of those first things happened to come by way of partnering with my girls for CCO Club. It was one of the best decisions I could have made in my entrepreneurial journey. I hope again that God will bless you through what you've heard today. Continue to join us, continue to follow us, because we are going some places, and I wish you well today. See you in the next episode. Hey there, before you take off, we would really appreciate it if you clicked on that follow button, even download this episode, share it if it was something that you know would be meaningful for another friend, because that is really what's going to help this podcast grow so that we can continue to give you fantastic content. Thanks so much, and we appreciate you following.